What is up, everyone? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Thursday, April 7th, 2022. I am your host today, Tamor Hussein, and joining me is my brother from another mother. It's Tim Gettys. Tim, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Tam. How are you?
I'm good. You know what? It's been a while since I've seen you, and you're looking sharp. You're glowing.
Thank you.
You're wearing your traditional blue, which I like.
I am. It's a Sonic day. We saw Sonic the Hedgehog 2 last night, so I have to wear my Sonic bomber jacket with the Green Hill Zone inside, which is fantastic. You can check out our review on youtube.com/kindoffunny in the coming moments, which is really exciting.
I'm excited to, one, see your review, two, see the movie, because surprised. I was surprised by that first movie. I was like, okay.
If you were surprised by the first one, you're going to be extra surprised by this one.
Did you see the story about Jim Carrey being like, I'm done. I'm retiring. I love that he's retiring off Sonic 2.
If this is the way he goes out, he's going out on top.
He's going out on top. That's awesome. He killed the Weeknd album.
You know, like
exactly. What a year for Jim Carrey.
Is he
Carrey,
on the Weeknd album?
Yeah.
Oh,
he's like, you need to listen to the Weeknd's new radio show host. It's fucking awesome.
Wait, is the Weeknd's new album more of his like synth pop stuff?
Yeah, but it's a little darker vibes. It's more like 80s,
I liked it more than his last one. Like, I liked the singles off of his last album, but I liked this album more.
See, I've had problems with The Weeknd where all of his songs sound exactly the same to me now. And I'm just
does not change here. That is definitely the case. But it's a vibe, man, and I'm vibing with it.
I'll give it a shot, but like, I miss the old Weeknd. Remember the old Weeknd?
We're always going to be those guys, Tam. Always.
Yeah. Oh, man. House of Balloons Thursday. Incredible. Anyway,
how's your Ramadan going?
My Ramadan's going okay. We're in like day three. Like, I'm fasting. My energy levels are usually at an all-time low. So it's a bit of an effort to do things like video shoots and that kind of stuff. But that's kind of what it is, right? It's tricky. I think the hardest part of it is like trying to eat enough food to kind of sustain you. And it's like, I woke up about a sunrise, which was about 5 o'clock. And I had like overnight oats and as much water as I could drink. And then I tried to go back to sleep, which was rough. And now I've woken up. And whenever you do that, you wake up feeling just like so groggy. So like, you know, when you nap and you wake up and you feel awful.
Yeah.
It's that for the entire day. You feel like that for the entire day. But the point of it is to, you know, abstain from food, water, other wants of the body, and appreciate what you have when you don't, by not having it for a while, building community, which we have here, which is great. Strengthening your connection to the people around you, if you believe in a higher power, that too. And you know, generally by the end of the day, I'm very appreciative that I can walk to the fridge and take out a glass of water and drink it. And it inspires me encourages me to give to charity. And that's kind of the point of it.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah. Well, and kind of funny, best friends, if you're out there and you want to support your Muslim friends, please do. If you want to support a charity, go for it. If not, no worries. It's all good. Love to see it. Yeah. Today is April 7th. And Tim, you know, I had to come with the April 7th knowledge. Mm-hmm. April 7th was when Will Keith Kellogg, an American businessman, founded the Kellogg Company. Of course, Kellogg's known for cornflakes. Do you know the story behind cornflakes, Tim?
Oh, I do not.
Buckle up, baby, because it's quite something. Cornflakes was invented by Will Keith Kellogg's brother, John Harvey Kellogg, who believed strongly in abstinence. And he believed strongly that sex and masturbation were unhealthy and abnormal. Disgusting, he would call it. He said that mood swings, bad posture, acne, baldness, stiff joints, and heart palpitation, as well as a penchant for spicy food, were all side effects of wanking and having sex.
What? Hold on. I mean, I guess it adds up for me. I really do like spicy foods.
Yeah, basically, he attributed any feeling of passion to people wanting to have sex or masturbating. So what he did was he created the most intentionally bland food possible so that it could be eaten to suppress any feelings of passion. And that food was the cornflake.
I wonder how excited he is that Kellogg's also has Frosted Flakes now.
See, the recipe for cornflakes of modern day are very different from the recipe for cornflakes of his period. So now they have sugar in them, which makes them more palatable. But back then, you were basically eating crunchy cardboard. And it was disgusting. But that was, he believed, and it was very popular for people who did not want to have, or people who believed that sex and masturbation was wrong. Or basically anyone who believed, like, having fun was a good time. So that is the history of the cornflake. Birthdays for April 7th include Billie Holiday, who was born in 1915. Francis Ford Coppola, who's also born on April 7th. John Oates of Hall & Oates. The one, the only, Jackie Chan.
Hell yeah.
Russell Crowe, separate from that, on April 7th, 1933, King Kong was released in theaters. And on April 7th, in 1967, Roger Ebert published his first ever film review in the Chicago Sun-Times.
Wow.
So, big day, April 7th. Anyways, today's stories include an update on Blizzard's QA department, which has scored a big win very, very recently. Remedy working on a Max Payne and Max Payne 2 remake. Some changes at Riot's workplace, a Deus Ex movie behind the scenes look, and much, much more, because this is, of course, Kind of Funny Games Daily, where each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. It never happens, but it's there if you need it. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on by going to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or roosterteeth.com, or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use the Epic creator code Kind of Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite, and that helps support the channel. To be part of the show, you can head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free along with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping, I mean, goddamn, one time, why can't it be a bad game of sweeping? A new Kind of Funny podcast is up right now, and it recaps the weekend.
It is an all-time great episode. Yes. I tweeted this, but if you have ever had even the slightest bit of interest in Kind of Funny, please listen to this episode. It is all of the energy, all of the insanity, all of the stupidity that you have come to know, and I'm not going to say love, just know about Kind of Funny, and it's all on display there.
Yeah, and it is, of course, a recap of the Weekend at Achievement Hunter Live. Features Greg, Tim, Nick, Andy, Snowback, Mike. Everyone's on there. Blessings on there. Yep. As Tim said, must listen. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Fargo Brady, Pranksy, and Anonymous. And today we are brought to you by Chime, DoorDash, and Babbel, but we'll tell you more about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and will forever be the Roper Report. It's time for some mother loving news. We've got six stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Thank you, Barrett. First story is, as mentioned at the top of the show, an update on the Activision QA situation. And it's a win for the Activision Blizzard QA department. I'm reading this from Jason Schreier's Twitter, as it is very much a breaking news story and is developing. He tweeted, Activision Blizzard just told staff that all of its 1,100 quality assurance testers will be 1, converted from contract to full-time, and 2, bumped up to at least $20 an hour, which is a big win for QA in the wake of several worker revolts and a burgeoning union effort. Schreier is working on a story, as are many others. Slight clarification you followed up with. 1,100 is the number of temporary and contract QA testers that are being converted to full-time, according to Activision Blizzard. There are other testers at the company who were already full-time staff. So, major win for Activision Blizzard QA team, who has been fighting tooth and nail to get some sort of better treatment from in terms of their working conditions. And if anything, this is a case that shows that it's worth fighting for.
Yep.
And that's, if you do the work and if you come together, you can make a change.
And that's the, I think the biggest thing here is, you know, as we do this show every weekday, we deal with good news, bad news, game delays, game announcements, and then so much of this horrible, horrible stuff, whether it's the workplace situations being bad or even like way, way worse than that. And as we talk about all these things and as they just become more and more common, these stories, like, I think, and I keep wanting to say this, like, it's so important to note that sometimes we see the growth from it, and having those conversations, the amount of conversations that have been forced in the last couple of years are forcing the situation to change and forcing people to take notice that are in positions of power that didn't, that mm-hmm. weren't noticing the right things and weren't investing in the right things. So is it changing overnight? No, but these are the little kind of chip damage that we're working towards. So absolutely. We got to celebrate these wins, but we can't give up there. We've got to keep pushing with all this stuff. But this is absolutely a win for them. And like, that is something that I'm happy. I want Activision to have wins. If the wins look like this, you know, yes, what I mean? Like, absolutely. This is absolutely a good thing.
And this is also a good example or a kind of, you know, North Star for other developers who may not be, who may also be in a situation where they need to make changes and fight for similar kind of changes in their workplace environment and how they're treated. Because if it can happen at Activision Blizzard, one of the biggest companies in the world that has no doubt put a lot of effort into, you know, union busting and making sure that, you know, or trying to quell these kind of, let's call it a uprising. But like, if they can pull it off, you can do it where you are probably too. Just do your best and keep going. And hopefully you will be able to make a change. So good job to the folks that have been fighting for a better working conditions over at that company. Next story. I think this came out post Kind of Funny Games Daily yesterday. Remedy is remaking Max Payne 1 and 2 for PC, PS5, and Xbox Series X and S. This comes from Steve Watts at the number one video game website on the internet, GameSpot.com. The story reads, a remake of Max Payne and Max Payne 2, The Fall of Max Payne, is coming from Remedy Entertainment. The studio behind the original Max Payne games has reached an agreement with Rockstar, who owns the IP, to remake both games for PC, PS5, and Xbox Series X and S. The remakes will come as a single release using the Northlight game engine, which was used for Quantum Break and Control. You shouldn't expect it to come anytime soon, though, as the announcement notes that it's only in the concept development stages. We were thrilled when our longtime friends at Remedy approached us about remaking the original Max Payne games, said Rockstar founder Sam Houser in the announcement. We are massive fans of the work the Remedy team has created over the years, and we can't wait to play these new versions. Max Payne has always held a special place in the hearts of everyone at Remedy, and we know the millions of fans worldwide feel the same too, said Remedy CEO Tiro Virtala. We're hugely excited to be working with our partners at Rockstar Games once again for the chance to bring the story, action, and atmosphere of the original Max Payne games back to players in new ways. So Max Payne was notable for its neo-noir setting and bullet time gameplay, which became a mainstay in several other games in the same era. The two games were followed by Max Payne 3, which was developed internally at Rockstar. The game's development budget will be financed by Rockstar Games, the size of which will be in line with a typical Remedy AAA production. Under the agreement, Remedy has a royalty opportunity after Rockstar Games has recouped its development, marketing, and other costs for distributing and publishing the game. So, great time for Max Payne fans. Tim, how are you feeling about Max Payne coming back with Remedy at the helm?
Rad, man. I think this is perfect. I think those games really can benefit from a remake. I think there's a lot in them that is so iconic to video mm-hmm. games. And I don't think this is just a nostalgia thing. Like, I think that there's at its core, there's something special to Max Payne. And I think that applying a modern Remedy take on it, especially combining both games into one package, like we've seen in the last couple of years how powerful video game remakes can be. Resident Evil 2 comes to mind, of how these iconic video games can be remade to be modern and still kind of take retain all the charm and what made the first one special, but making arguably a definitive version of them for gamers to play in modern times. And this, everything about this sounds great. The whole thing that's, I think, least exciting is how far out it is. And I think this is something we're going to see a lot more of, and we've already been seeing a lot more of, just really boring video game announcements. You know, like, now that E3 is gone, now that everyone's just kind of doing their own cycles and leaks are more abundant than ever, and gaming is more of an always on situation with the internet, I think it's a little sad that a lot of people are getting what they want and just like, just announce the games, don't make it such a big secret. I love the secret, I love the hype, I love the fun of it all, but you know what, at the end of the day, we're gonna get great video games out of it, hopefully.
Yeah, for sure. The thing I'm interested about is, what level of remake are we getting it? Like, are they going to rewrite parts of it? I imagine, because I love the idea of Sam Lake going back to some of his old work and being like, I'm gonna clean this up for modern day and add more to it. And, you know, the thing about Max Payne is, like, unless you played it, if you look at it from the outside, it just looks like a very kind of, not generic, but like run-of-the-mill shooter action game, until you actually get behind the controls and you see how the atmosphere affects the kind of action and the narration, how that impacts it. And I am sure that they're going to absolutely knock it out of the park when it comes to atmosphere after control. Like, that game is one of the coolest games in a really long time. But the thing I'm most excited about is Sam Lake getting in his bag, sitting down again, and starting to write some new lines that makes Max Payne feel, sound big sad, and also very, very, like, you know, neo-noir cop. But I do wonder whether they're just going to be like, oh, we're going to just take what it is and remake it in Northlight, but keep the writing and that kind of stuff the same. Or if they're going to really delve in and kind of rewrite bits and rework bits. What do you want out of it?
I think that the reworking is kind of necessary, right? Like, all the games that came out in that generation kind of need more than just a new coat of paint. Like, I think that they do kind of need a little bit of reworking from their core, and it's retaining the essence of what they were trying to accomplish back in the day, but do that with the modern technology that we have now, and not even just technology, but sensibilities that we have now as well.
The other thing is, I believe James McCaffrey, who voiced Max Payne, is still out and about and doing stuff. I mean, he worked on Max Payne 3, so it'll be good to hear him come back and work on the game. So that is incredibly exciting. I'm a little sad that it's so far away.
Yeah, but I wanted to know what was coming up. No.
But yeah, exciting to see them. I absolutely love to see Remedy winning. Like, after
Quantum Break,
Control, Quantum Break as well, but like, they did Control, which was just phenomenal, and then they announced Alan Wake 2 is coming, and they're making it a true survival horror game, and now they're going back to their roots with Max Payne. Like, absolutely love to see Remedy, like, just in their bag, and yeah, it brings me joy to see that happening.
Yeah, sorry. What I thought you were saying is, like, after Quantum Break, which wasn't the success that I think kind of put or expected from it, or desired from it at least. They really have kind of turned things around and are really, you know, crafting a narrative for their place in the industry. And I'm very hopeful. I really love seeing so many different developers out there kind of mature a bit in their ability to create games and understand like the type of games that they can make. And I think the Control is an excellent example of the direction that they've been going and taking their projects. So they're announcing a lot of stuff. I think there is that fear of, like, can they handle all of this? Like, but, you know, I'm hopeful.
Yeah, I trust them. Next story comes from Patrick Klepek over at Waypoint. This is a bit of a beefy one, but we'll try and get through it. Riot Games tells workers to return to office without vaccine or mask requirements. This is an interesting story because I imagine we're going to be seeing a lot more of it as a lot of corporations and companies start to shift back to working from the office or some sort of hybrid environment. But League of Legends developer Riot Games is asking employees at its LA headquarters to return to the office without requiring mask or COVID-19 vaccines, prompting employee fears and even some resignations, according to two employees and one two current employees and one former employee who talked to Waypoint. I'm angry over it, said a current employee who asked to remain anonymous over worries over retaliation. It's foolish and pointless policy being done at a poor time and being handled without a real guarantee of our safety. We're just playing Russian roulette with Riot's health. Recently, Riot Games' chief security officer, Christopher Himes, sent a Slack message to employees who work at the League of Legends Developers LA, California office, announcing that Riot was dropping office mask mandates, among other changes to its existing COVID-19 policy. Himes told employees, Riot is also dropping required testing for employees who have not provided proof of vaccination, and said the mask change came because LA was dropping indoor mask mandates. The changes came alongside Riot's broader push to return to its LA office, which started this week and will continue rolling out based on the demands and needs of individual projects. Everyone assigned to the LA office must be in the office on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, with Monday and Friday being flexible work from home days. This is a comment from Riot. Early on in the pandemic, we committed to following public health recommendations from state and local government entities. Recently, state and local regulations have updated their COVID-19 recommendations, including vaccination and mask mandate requirements. So Riot follow their lead, said a spokesperson in a statement to a Waypoint. In accordance with LA County Health Order, Riot strongly encourages but does not require all individuals to wear a face covering while on Riot's property. That said, we know that some Rioters will feel more comfortable wearing masks, and we want our campus to be a place where people feel safe to take whatever precaution best fits their needs. We are encouraging Rioters to have an open communication and to be empathetic and accommodating towards their colleagues who prefer masking up. So, go ahead, Tim.
No, that's go for it.
I was going to say, as Patrick points out, it's also kind of important to recognize that the fact that Riot is doing this is the way they're doing it is exactly as the local government in LA is basically expecting and telling people that they should do it. And it is providing some additional safety measures to people who do that. And having said that, there are still a lot of complaints, and it's a potentially, you know, erroneous a policy or approach to it, given that there are spikes happening currently and the spread rate seems to be going up in some areas. I don't really know the best way to tackle this, but it's something that we as a society are going to have to grapple with, given that, you know, one, people have started to take the kind of mentality that it's over, we're done, we're moving, going back to normal, but at the same time, quietly, just like simmering beneath it all, is like spread rates are increasing. What's kind of your take on this, Tim?
I mean, you know, I feel like there's never going to be the perfect answer that solves all this stuff. And I think that that's the sad, unfortunate thing, because there's so much at play here and so much at work. And the office spaces exist. There's a lot of money there. There's a lot of decisions that have to be made. Those are the decisions people are making based on what the government's telling them, what local government's telling them. And it's like it creates a really shitty situation that is unsafe for a lot of people and makes people not want to work at these places. And that makes a lot of people not want to work at these places. And that sucks, right? And, you know, the idea of normal, going back to normal, we know that's not going to happen. There has to be a new normal. And I think that we're in that stage that everyone's working towards trying to define what that means. Personally, I don't like this for a company that big and for a company that clearly has people that are not interested in doing this, and especially as so many companies have proved that they don't need to be in an office to be able to do the work that they're trying to do. There are exceptions to that. There are a million exceptions to that. But companies like Riot have proved for years now that they don't need to be in office for this. And I'm sure that we've seen many people that are working there are upset about this and are just like, what are we trying to do here? So I think that this is going to be an evolving story. I don't think this is going to be the end of it, but Riot's not alone here. Riot aren't evil for this either. It's just kind of the way things are, and they're the ones being pushed by a lot of other evil people. It's that things do get complicated there. And at the end of the day, everyone has their beliefs on masks and the vaccine and all that stuff. And I wish we all agreed, but we don't all agree. And that's what makes this super complicated. And the unfortunate reality is there's no answer that solves it, because people disagree.
Yeah, I think the tricky part of it is the part where they're like, you don't need any evidence or like proof of vaccination, which is kind of rough. Like it just kind of creates, you're just opening yourself up to some really, really dangerous kind of situations there. I mean, like at the very least, I think if you are going to, like taking, for example, my personal situation, we go into the office twice a week, but everyone who is in the office has shown proof of vaccination and been logged as someone who has been vaccinated. And if you aren't vaccinated, you don't come into the office. While you're in the office, it's masks are encouraged in areas where people gather or pass each other in like significant amounts, which is not a lot because there's not a lot of people there. But elsewhere, you can, if you're comfortable, you can unmask. And I feel like that's been a good way to approach it. But fundamentally, that trust comes because the trust to not mask up and, you know, feel a little more comfortable comes because we know that everyone in that office has shown proof that they are vaccinated. And some people have shown proof that they are boosted as well. So I feel like that should be something that people keep in mind when it comes to these situations. There are things that are happening in riot situation where they have like RFID chips that their people carry so that if they ever accident or pass someone who turns out has eventually contracted COVID or before has, it will be like, hey, you'll get a notification being like, just so you know, this person you passed, you at some point today you passed someone who had COVID. And there are other measures in place, and yeah, the optional masking rule applies kind of like regardless of the vaccination status, which is kind of a tricky thing. But it's a sensitive situation, as you said, and it's going to be interesting to see how different video game companies approach it. I think the mandate part is going to be very, forcing people to come into the office is going to be very tricky considering they've just proved over the course of 2 years that they can do most things in an office without being in an office. And I know that's something that most people, definitely our company is something that's being discussed where it's like, do we need to be in the office? Because we've just shown that we can work without being there. But we'll see how that goes. It's going to be an ongoing conversation for the foreseeable future, I imagine.
Yep.
Next story comes from the number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 video game website. Number 1, of course, still us as well. GameSpot.com. Eric Fredrickson, who writes, can Deus Ex movie script changed a major aspect of the game? So the news story here is, if you didn't know, there was a Deus Ex movie coming at one point. And the script of it has now been... Did you know there was one?
Remember when there was the Crazy Taxi movie coming out? Because I do.
Yeah. That was wild.
That should happen now.
that would be good now, yeah. I always thought of, like... I always said, like, there should be a Crazy Taxi new game. In the era of Uber and Lyft, do you not do a Crazy Taxi, like, with some sort of hook tie into those two companies?
That would be incredible. There was a Crazy Taxi like that came out a couple years ago that Bless and I talked about on a Gamescast at one point. It wasn't that great, but figure it out.
Sega, if you're out there, you want to make it. You want a Crazy Taxi that is fun and arcadey, but also you want a very interesting story about working in the gig economy and the highs and lows of that. Let us know. I can knock that up for you very easily.
Hell yeah.
Back in 2012, director Scott Dickerson, Derrickson, was hot off the success of Sinister, but hadn't yet picked up Doctor Strange responsibilities from Marvel Studios. At that time, he was working on an adaptation of Deus Ex Human Revolution with his Sinister collaborator C. Robert Cargill. The movie was ultimately scrapped, but Scott Kinney, development executive for Prime Universe Productions, supplied a 2014 draft of the script to USA Today, along with a few interesting reveals about the process of making the movie. Perhaps the most notable about the script was one particular change to the game's story. In the game, protagonist Adam Jensen wakes up after an explosion with a bunch of experimental cybernetic augmentations in his body. Of course, they give Jensen all kinds of new abilities, but in the world of Deus Ex, enhanced people are treated differently from pure people. When asked how he's handling the augmentation, Jensen replies, "I never asked for this." Of course, iconic. Much of the script follows the game, but when Jensen wakes up in the hospital after the explosion, he literally asks his boss, David Sarif, to augment him for the purpose of getting revenge. So it is a revenge movie. Late in the movie, though, Jensen is facing off against one of the movie's primary antagonists, Barrett.
Hey.
Wow. Hey, it's the boss, baby. CEO Junior. And just as he slices off Barrett's arm, sorry about that, Barrett. He says, "I never asked for this." The scene is really cheesy, even compared to the rest of the script, and both of these examples miss what seems like a really important part of Adam Jensen's story, that he was augmented against his will. From Super Mario Bros. To Assassin's Creed, this is one of the biggest concerns gamers have going into films based on their favorite franchises. Is it an actual adaptation or just a licensed name that loses the heart of the original story? So, it was never planned to be a R-rated movie, despite some really intense action scenes in the script. Most studios at the time, this was before Deadpool was such a huge hit with an R rating, were not interested in making big budget films intended for adult audiences only. I think it could and should have been an R-rated film if made today, and that would be a hindrance. So why didn't this get the movie made? Well, Doctor Strange is at least partly to blame for that. We made some really good progress on the Deus Ex script, and it's an incredible property, Derrickson told Empire Online. Those folks over at CBS Film hired myself and C. Robert Cargill. I love them. They're great people. It was really positive process going on, and it was a little heartbreaking. Getting on Doctor Strange, this was the biggest downside of it. The fact that I needed to stop off Deus Ex, and I couldn't expect them to wait 2 years for me. So according to Kinney, the studio scrapped the script because Deus Ex wasn't the kind of film they wanted to make or felt comfortable making at the time, and that they planned to shift away from making action films like Dwayne Johnson's Faster, which they had previously financed, to films more like The Duff.
The Duff!
The Duff. That's what they wanted to do. Yeah, I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head when you were like, remember there was a Crazy Taxi movie? It seems like there was a period where if your game was even remotely successful,
yep,
someone in Hollywood option it to be like, I'll make a movie on this. The fact that it got to where it did sounds a little more like promising for the project, and it might contribute to why Derrickson's a bit sad about it. But it does not sound like a good movie.
No, not at all.
The thing that would interest me is like, what would it have been like given the reaction to the second game, which was embroiled in many controversies, ranging from the pre-order controversy to the org Lives Matter controversy. Remember that?
Oh yeah.
And then the game itself was like, meh. I think this would have been a bit of a wet fart of a release in terms of the movie.
Well, especially that timing, man. Like that was definitely a sour spot in video game movie history.
Yeah.
Where like that is around the Assassin's Creed era, right? Like, yeah. we're not getting anything like close to good like we are these days. So,
no, not at all. I went to the set of the Assassin's Creed movie, and it was incredible because the entire time the Ubisoft PR was very, very like nervous about us being in front of Michael Fassbender.
Was he cool?
And like,
did he smell cool?
Did he smell cool? He smelled like an assassin. Sweaty.
That's cool. That's cool.
It was hot. It was really hot. But like when we were going to meet him, the PR was like, do not ask for pictures because, you know, Hollywood actor, we went into his trailer. It was me and like one other person. Yeah. And he was just like chilling in there. And they were like, you can't have pictures because he's dressed in the assassin outfit. And that has not been revealed yet. So we couldn't take any pictures. So I was like, okay, cool. No worries. I'll just chat to him about, you know, playing the character. So we walk in there, we sit down, and he comes in and he's like, hey, how's it going, everyone? And he's like super chill. He like daps everyone up and like we're talking and like we talk about the movie a bit. And he's like, very, very nice. And then we're like, okay, cool, wrapping up, on our way out. And he's like, hey, we should all get pictures together. And the Ubisoft PR's face is like crushed. They were like, immediately went into like damage control. And they were like, shit, I can't tell Michael Fassbender he can't have pictures with these random video game losers. So like the PR came up with a strategy very quickly. They were like, oh, I'll take it on my phone. And I was like, I know where this is going. So like took loads of pictures. We didn't see those pictures for over a year. Like they were gone. They were gone. And I was like, fair enough. Anyways, remember, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, time to hear a word from our sponsors.
No one likes waiting on a paycheck, especially when you've got bills due. Good thing there's Chime. Now you can get your paycheck up to 2 days early with direct deposit. That's up to two more days to save, pay bills, and generally just feel good about your money situation. But Chime is more than just getting paid early. It's also an award-winning mobile app, checking account, debit card, and optional savings account. So what are you waiting for? Hopefully not your paycheck. Get started with Chime today. Applying for a free account takes less than 2 minutes. Get started at chime.com/kfgames. That's chime.com/kfgames. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank and Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. Early access to direct deposit funds depend on the payer. You got back-to-back meetings, errands to run, and chores to take care of. What's the secret to clearing your to-do list? A little help from DoorDash. You can get dinner, household essentials, and everything on your grocery list delivered. I'm going to pause the ad and tell you, ladies and gentlemen, how do I know so much about DoorDash? I used it this morning. I woke up. I had to get the house ready. I had this guy coming to work on the garage. I had the nanny coming over. We had no clean bottles. I cleaned the bottles and everything. And I was like, I'm hungry and I need coffee and I don't have time to make either. I DoorDashed Jen and I some breakfast today and it was great. When I was sick last week, I DoorDashed Gatorade because I wasn't about to go out. DoorDash is great. Back to what they wrote. Ordering is easy and your items will be left safely outside your door when you choose contactless delivery drop-off. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code KINDAFUNNY. That's 25% off up to a $10 value and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code KINDAFUNNY. Don't forget, that's code KINDAFUNNY for 25% off your first order with DoorDash, subject to change, terms apply. For most of us, learning a second language in high school or college wasn't exactly a high point in our academic careers. I took 3 years of French, and guess what? It didn't stick. Now, thanks to Babbel, the language learning app that sold more than 10 million subscriptions, there's an addictively easy and fun way to learn a new language. Whether you'll be traveling abroad, connecting in a deeper way with family, or just have some free time, Babbel teaches you bite-sized language lessons that you'll actually want to use in the real world. Je parle un peu français, and I was talking to Jen's mom here and there about little things. Mon chapeau, you know what it's about. Other language learning apps use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 100 language experts. With Babbel, you can choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, and German. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you improve your pronunciation and accent. I could use that for English. Start your new language learning journey today with Babbel. Right now, you can save up to 60% off your subscription when you go to babbel.com/kindoffunny. That's babbel.com/kindoffunny for up to 60% off your subscription. Babbel. Language for life.
Tim, I know that you like technology that makes your life ever so slightly convenient. Oh, more yes. Convenient. I love that shit. Sometimes the more incremental the convenience, the better. When I can make something just slightly better, it feels so good. And now you can do that with your Xbox controller. This comes from Cracky at GameSpot.com. You can now switch TV inputs with your Xbox controller.
Fuck yeah.
Which is wild. Obviously, if you're playing video games on TV, sometimes you're like, oh God, I need to switch to, I don't know, whatever input it is. HDMI 1, HDMI 2. Now you can do that by finding your impossible to lose between a couch cushion gamepad. Announced by Xbox's Larry Major Nelson Herb. Rib? It's Herb, isn't it? I'm wrong. The feature, I've just got used to calling people Herbs as a like a dunk. So I don't know. Sorry, Larry, I might have to change your name. The feature is part of Consumer Electronics Control or CEC. Essentially, consoles that use this feature can send commands to other devices, usually TVs, through their controllers. CEC has been on Xbox consoles for some time, but starting today, users can switch their TV's input with their controller. The same feature has been present on PlayStation 5 consoles for some time. Starting today, when you press the Xbox button on your controller once, you'll be able to switch input back to your Xbox. If you're on a different TV input waiting for a download or an update, you can press the Xbox button once and it will go over to the Xbox channel. As long as the TV is connected to an Xbox Series console that supports CEC, as long as the TV supports it, players can use their Xbox controller to switch these inputs. All they have to do is find the TV and AV power options menu in their console setting. From there, they can turn on the HDMI CEC and choose which commands their consoles can give their TV. Along with being able to switch TV inputs using the controller, users can have their console change a device's volume or turn other devices on or off. Tim, are you going to be doing this?
utterly fantastic news. I personally will not be doing that because I have a setup that doesn't require this, but this is the type of thing, any technology that has CEC ability should be able to do this. Like, it is such a bummer when it's like, things should just, we're in 2022, things should just work the way that they should work. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, cool. Intuitively, if you're holding the controller and you want to do a thing, it should be able to do that thing. And in a lot of cases it can, but there's always the one thing that you're like, okay, cool, you're telling me I can turn on the TV, I can turn on my Xbox, I can do all of that with just the controller, but I can't switch the input. Well, that makes all of that useless because I needed to do either everything or I'm gonna have to get up and touch a different controller or remote or whatever it is. So this is fantastic stuff. I love seeing Xbox continue to push the tech forward with all of this stuff. They were the first to really kind of push this CEC stuff back last generation. So I think it's great, and I love that we're getting ever so slightly closer to a world that just works.
Yeah, I had this on. Well, I did not know this existed for a really long time. But it was on, it had it, I have it on my TV. And so when I plugged in my Xbox, it was so annoying because I'd do this thing where I would turn on my PS5 and then I'd turn on my TV and the TV would tell the Xbox that the TV is on and the Xbox would turn on and I'd be like, what's going on? Why is this happening to me? And it happened for literally months and I'd have to like turn the Xbox off. And then eventually I found out that CEC existed and I was like, oh, this thing is sending a signal to my Xbox to turn on every time I turn the TV on. Yes. So I turned that shit off because it's annoying me.
No, dude. And if you don't know, it's annoying. Like, you need to understand exactly what's happening. And even if you do understand, it can get really problematic for however your setup is. Advice to everyone out there that has ever dealt with that or trying to figure it out. The best thing to do is to go into every single device that's part of the chain, go into the settings and look for anything that has to do with HDMI. Go in and look to see if there's something that says CEC, that says ARC, that says SimpLink. There's going to be a bunch of different things depending on the brand, Samsung, Sony, Microsoft, place, or any of them, whether it's the console, the TV, the receiver, the any part of the chain. Check into it, the TV itself, LG, and then Google those brands and see what do they call it, because everyone calls it something different. On LG, it's SimpLink. SimpLink, it's funny. But anyways, it's a whole thing. And check that shit out, because somewhere along the line, if you're having a problem, it's because of that shit. But it's also very valuable stuff that if you set up correctly is going to make your life just a little bit better all the time.
A lot of Twitch users are using SimpLink, if you know what I'm saying. Yeah, I think I'll probably leave it off because these it's sometimes the thing that frustrates me that could become a problem is sometimes I just turn my TV on to use the inbuilt apps for like Hulu or whatever. So it gets a bit weird with that. But I'm excited to see where they take this tech forward. Next story comes from Andrew Webster at The Verge. Epic and Lego have partnered to build a metaverse for kids. Yes, Tim, the metaverse. It's for coming. Kids. For kids. The metaverse, but for kids. Two of the biggest names in entertainment are coming together to create a virtual space aimed at kids through a new partnership between Fortnite developer Epic Games and Lego. We are excited to come together to build a space in the metaverse that's fun, entertaining, and made for kids and families, Epic CEO Tim Sweeney said in a statement. You know what is also fun, entertaining, and made for kids and families? The park! Go there. Details are scarce, and the concept of a metaverse remains a murky one. But the companies say that whatever it is they end up building will be designed as a family-friendly virtual space from the beginning. The Lego Group and Epic Games will combine their extensive experience to ensure that the next iteration of the internet is designed from the outset with the well-being of kids in mind, the companies explained in a press release. The pairing makes a certain amount of sense. Epic has extensive experience in creating virtual worlds, primarily through the enduringly popular Fortnite, while Lego has an increasingly large focus on video games, most recently with the launch of Lego Star Wars, the Skywalker Saga, this week. Meanwhile, two of the most popular online video games, Minecraft and Roblox, offer a similar style of sandbox building as Lego bricks. Epic has also spoken about creating a more child-friendly metaverse in the past. The new partnership joins a host of other attempts from companies at building their own interpretation of the metaverse, which to date includes everyone from Pokemon Go maker Niantic to rebranded Facebook and major NFT brands. Ugh. There's no information about what this new Fortnite meets Lego world could look like, when it will be available, or on what platforms it's expected to launch. But companies did announce, but the companies did announce a trio of principles they say will guide its creation. Protect children's right to play by making safety and well-being a priority. Safeguard children's privacy by putting their best interests first. Empower children and adults with tools that give them control over their digital experience. Tim, how do you feel about a metaverse for kids?
So I want to start off by saying I watched a really fascinating video essay about a week ago about the history of children's programming on TV. And I learned so much, and it explained so much about how I grew up watching cartoons and Saturday morning cartoons or Nickelodeon and things like that. And the weird stuff that would happen where I'd be like, why is there a baseball game playing right now? And like, I learned a lot about syndication and the different like local channels that had the syndication rights to a lot of the Saturday morning cartoons. But if the Giants were playing that day, guess what? I'm not getting my cartoons. But what I learned that was really fascinating was this balance where if you played a certain amount of children's programming back to back, you were required to have at least a certain amount to balance out that is educational programming. And that's why things like Nick at Night, or not Nick at Night, Nick News would happen every Sunday. And as a kid, you're like, what the fuck is this? Why are we doing this shit? You know? But it makes sense. And it's because adults and people that were in power were like, yo, we need to make sure that we're actually adding value to these kids programs. And we're not just like riding the kids' brains, but we're also enticing them to actually want to watch the stuff and engage with it and all of that. I kind of feel like this is that stage right now. This is them kind of looking at this and being like, look, the metaverse, whatever it is an inevitable future. On top of that, it's already going on present, right? With things like Minecraft and Club Penguin and other things that we've seen there. It's like, there's no getting kids out of this. It's going to happen. So I am hopeful that Lego and Epic partnering, they're starting from the level of like, we got to figure out some levels of protection, some levels of security, that this isn't going to just completely take advantage of kids. Now, is that going to be the case? No, there's going to be a lot of really, really, really bad shit. So that's kind of the cons of all of this. But again, it's inevitable. And I do think that Epic has done a lot, and Lego especially too, to really try to prove that they want to do this right. And I don't think they're going to make all the right choices, but I do believe that they are attempting to come at this from the right way. And at the end of the day, yeah, they're trying to make a lot of money, and they're going to make a lot of money from this. But I would rather groups in control that are trying to make a lot of money while also maintaining that they need to kind of like protect children's rights and safety. Yeah. That's the utmost.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure the metaverse is inevitable yet. And the reason I say that is because there's too many people trying to be stakeholders in it, and it feels too scattered and it feels too disjointed. It doesn't feel unified as an approach. Everyone has their own metaverse now, and it feels more like companies are creating the modern version of GeoCities than the modern version of the internet. And I feel like it's going to be a long time before we get to a situation where we have something a little more unified that feels usable to everyone. I think that it's definitely interesting as a prospect. I'm not 100% sure I'm keen on it just yet, mainly because some of the safety measures on the current internet are not good enough. Like people, you know, there's regulatory bodies that exist that don't understand modern internet and aren't able to draft laws or, you know, practices or any sort of like systems to kind of look after people on the internet as it currently exists. The fact that they were creating this more immersive version of that people are trying to create more immersive versions of the internet, it's just, I feel like maybe I'm being overly skeptical, but I think it's going to be a hot mess for a long, long time, and it's going to be real cheap and real crap for a long, long time.
Yeah, totally. I guess I look at it differently, where when I say that I think the metaverse is inevitable, it's like I don't necessarily think it's going to be what everyone's pitching as this unified thing that everyone's connected. I think of it more as like the metaverse is just what we've been doing for the last 20 years in video games and on the internet, but now people are trying to rebrand it and make it a thing when all it is communities on the internet, right? It is just groups of people together and they're trying to come up with monetization strategies and all that. But like, you know, MySpace had metaverse elements to it, right? Yeah. Like anytime we've ever made an avatar, there's metaverse elements. And where'd that start? Video games, right? Mm-hmm. So I just feel like it's putting a different coat of paint on the what game is this?
Yeah, what is this?
What the hell is this, bro? Barrett? What the fuck?
Toontown?
I missed out on that. This? Fucking OG metaverse game right there. I was just throwing a bunch of metaverses, like, you know, Toontown, Club Penguin. Yeah, mm-hmm. Minecraft, which is essentially just a Lego video game, which is why I always think it's funny when Lego's like, we need to make our own metaverse. It's like, yeah, but that's Minecraft.
What did we have that was similar to that? I can't even remember.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you got to go back to this, Tam. What we had was AOL chat rooms. That's what it was.
Oh, right? Yeah.
That was our metaverse. Like, it was the beginnings of the internet, and that was people connecting for the first time. Now it's like every single person in the world has some form of social media out there. So it's like that, we just kind of think of it as normal. We don't think of it as meta, but it's like, that's just where we're at now.
Chat rooms and WoW and that kind of stuff, man.
Mapleverse.
Yeah, man, that makes me feel old. My memories of that are so, so far away. But if I wanted to know what's coming out to Mama Grub Shops today, Tim, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday. That was a great segue. Fantastic.
Oh, do, yeah. Forgot you didn't do the tingle.
Out today, we have BB and Tina, New Adventures with Horses. That is very, very suspicious. New Adventures with Horses? No, we just want to stick to the old Adventures with Horses. Let's not try to do new things with horses, okay? That's coming to Switch. Cars puzzle game, not the Cars puzzles game. It just seems to be a puzzle game involving cars. Funny Car and Trucks preschool jigsaw education learning puzzle games for babies, kids, and toddlers for Switch. You're into that. Chinatown Detective Agency for Xbox One, Switch, PC. That's also on Game Pass, I believe. Very cool. Chrono Cross, the Radical Dreamers Edition, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, PC. The sequel, the divisive sequel to Chrono Trigger, and the first time released outside of Japan, Radical Dreamers text-based kind of interstitial between those two games. Worth checking out. Eschatos for PS4. Floating Farmer for Switch. Seems like it's not very conducive to farming if you're just floating constantly. The next game, I assure you, is not made by me, called Forgive Me, Father for PC. Godfall Ultimate Edition by Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, and PC. Happy's Humble Burger Farm for Switch. Not at all related to Happy Hogan from the Marvel Universe, despite his...
Floating Farmer.
Exactly. Janitor Bleeds for Xbox One and PC, which sounds real shit for that janitor. Combinera for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, PC. Makoko X, Switch and PC. Radioactive Dwarfs, Evil from the Sewers, for Switch.
Cool.
Red, White, Yellow Zynga for Switch. Road Maintenance Simulator for PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X and S, and Xbox One and PC. I'm kind of intrigued by that. Sherlock Holmes, The Devil's Daughter for Switch. Slipstream for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Spingram for Switch. The House of the Dead Remake for Switch. Ooh. The Last Friends for Switch, Traditional Braves for Switch, Whiskey and Zombies, bad combo for Xbox One. New dates, Rogue Legacy 2 is coming to PC, Xbox One, Series X and S on April 28th. And Mario Golf is coming to Nintendo Switch for Nintendo Switch Online and Expansion Pack members on April 15th.
I am excited, man. Also, I'm most excited about the N64 catalog, just kind of like getting just a little bit more robust. Like, can we just get there? You know, it's such a slow, slow little crawl. Although I will say it seems like the N64 side of stuff has been more exciting than the NES or Super Nintendo, where every month they have been delivering bangers. And I do think that it's kind of a fun thing to look forward to. And I think it'll incentivize me to play more games for a little bit longer than I would had if they had just dropped all of them at once.
I'm just waiting for Pokemon Stadium, which I know is going to be an absolute nightmare to play, but I still want to play it.
Those mini games, Lickitung, man.
And look at that. Sushi. Oh my God, the sushi one. Oh, so God, good. Yeah. So good. big deal of day. Following on from the Rogue Legacy 2 news, Rogue Legacy 1 is free on Epic Game Store for a limited time. You can go there between April 7th, which is today, and April 13th, which is quite a limited window, and download it for no monies, which is great. Looking at if there's any reader mail, you can send right into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get your question read on the show. It doesn't look like we have any reader mail, which is fine. Nobody has any questions. It's cool. Don't worry about it.
It's all gooch.
It's all
Everybody
goochy.
Already knows everything. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. And now let's check out You're Wrong. We got a couple in here, which is one from Kebabs, who says Mankind Divided is technically the third game in the Deus Ex. I know that, Kebabs. You think I'm stupid? You think I was born yesterday? Fifth, if you count the OG sequel to the first game and the mobile games released after Human Revolution. Original Deus Ex, the GOAT. The GOAT. Kebabs also said, just realized I spelled Deus Ex wrong. So he, you're wronged himself, which is great. Anakin JMT says Larry Herb's name, according to him, is pronounced like Herb with the H sound, not with a silent H like the Resident Evil item. Herb. That's an American thing. It's Herb. Hardolfund says, Tam, if you're leading a battalion against the metaverse, I pledge my loyalty and will give my life. Great. I'll come knocking very, very soon for your life. Tomorrow's hosts are Bless and Andy. If you're watching live on Twitch after this, you've got the Kinda Funny Morning Show and then into Fortnite. And if you want to catch that stream later, you can subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, where each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through all the hottest news of the day that you absolutely need to know. We've got a Patreon post show right now for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, laugh and grow fat.